The question I would like us to answer this morning is how? How will Jesus Christ return? How will he return? So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read from verse 27. This is right there at the end of the Olivet Discourse, speaking about all the signs. Jesus gives the signs of what is going to happen. And here he speaks about the second coming, specifically the second coming, when he will return, and specifically on how he will return. So this is just one aspect of the second coming of Christ that I would like us to look at this morning. Now, I've already started working on some other messages as well with regards to the same question, how will Jesus return? How will he return? Because that's our hope. Our hope is in Christ's return when he comes to this earth to take us to be with him forever and ever. And you've heard this morning in John chapter 14 that he has gone to prepare a place for us, a room for us. And when he has prepared that room for us, he is going to return to come and fetch us, to take us to be with him forever and ever. That is our hope. That is our hope. So I'm excited about it. Before we read, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning, knowing that we have hope. We are not hopeless like people in the world who do not know Christ. We're not hopeless like people in the world who lost their loved ones who were not saved. We're not hopeless, Father, in this world when we look at the corruption and all the things that's happening around us. We have hope. And our hope is firmly in Christ, in his second coming, and the fact that we will have eternal life in him, that we will be in his presence forever, that we will see him face to face and truly be reconciled, and salvation will be ours. We look at salvation by faith, but one day it will be true, it will be real, because we will be in your presence. So Father, as we read your word and as we study this short passage of scripture, I pray, please open it up to our hearts so that we may receive. Open it up to our minds so we may understand. So that we will look up to Christ and have an expectation of his soon return. But also, not just an expectation, but that we will watch and wait patiently, but with eagerness for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go before us, and Father, please cut out everything that our minds might be looking at and thinking of and whatever, Father, at this stage, so that we can focus for these few minutes on your word. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Matthew chapter 24. Right. Just give the children a moment to come in. Matthew 24, verse 27. We're going to read up to verse 31. And by the way, just before that, Jesus explains what's going to happen in the tribulation period. And then he says in verse 27, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Verse 28, "For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." A beautiful passage of Scripture. One of those passages of Scripture that tells us about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I hope, I really do hope, that you have an expectation of Christ's return. That there is something in you that is just looking up and saying, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. I hope that's in you. That you're not so caught up with the things of this world and the things that's going on around you and all the do's and don'ts and the wants and the want-nots in your life, that you're not focused or not waiting patiently but with expectation for the return of Jesus Christ. Because we can get so caught up, so quickly, so easily we can get caught up that we miss out and we don't focus our attention on Christ and His coming. Now, when we look at the book of Revelation, as I do in the evening, we are looking at the revelation of Christ. We're looking at who Jesus is, and you will see when I handle the book of Revelation, that's the angle that I come from, to handle Jesus or to explain who Jesus is, because that's what the book of Revelation does. It explains to us the glorified Christ. It shows us what He is going to do. It shows us the judge of all judges that's going to judge this world in righteousness one day. We see the rider on the white horse. We see Him being triumphant over all His enemies. We see Christ from different angles in the book of Revelation, while in the visions that John had, he explains to us a lot of things that is going to happen in the future. But Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ in the first place. We get to know Him better. We get to know about Him, right? But when it comes to the how of the second coming, right here in Matthew chapter 24, we find this beautiful passage of Scripture, kind of and let's call it a conclusion of everything that has been said already, things that's still going to be said. This is what's going to happen. When Jesus returns, and He's not going into detail, you know, with the angels that comes with Him and then goes out. He doesn't go into all the details and things. It is just kind of a nice summary of everything that's going to happen when Jesus returns. This is what we can expect. So we see in Matthew chapter 24, and specifically verse 30, where it says, "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, one thing I want to say to you quickly, just before we continue, when Jesus returns, He's not the lamb that is slaughtered for our sin. He's not the servant of His people. He is not the suffering servant. Okay? When Jesus returns, it will be in splendor. It will be in glory. It will be in majesty. It will be as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Jesus returns, it will be in power and great glory. He will come in the glory of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. In the Shekinah glory of God, that's what Jesus Christ will come in. What a sight. Think about that. Because when we think of Christ, we think of Him as our Savior. We think of Him as the Lamb that was led to the slaughter. We think of Him as the substitute sacrifice for our sin. We look at Jesus Christ as the one who laid down His life for us. We look at Christ as the one who became flesh, God, who humbled Himself, took on flesh, and walked among us. That's when we look at Christ. That's what the Bible describes Jesus Christ as, specifically with regards to His first coming. But beloved, when He comes again, That's not how Christ is portrayed. That's not how he is pictured. Christ is pictured as the triumphant one. And he is now the one that will judge the world in righteousness. He is now the one that will rule this world like it's never been ruled before. Amazing. But there has to be an answer to the question, how will he come? Because when he comes, how? How is Jesus going to return? Now we read in our text that before Jesus comes, verse 27 tells us that it will be extremely visible. It's not going to be a silent thing. Look at verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. This doesn't mean that there's going to be a lightning flash from the east to the west. It tries to explain to us that it's going to be extremely visible. Very visible. The earth will know that the King of Kings has arrived. The earth will know, every tribe on this planet will know that Jesus Christ is here. It's not going to be this silent thing. It's not going to be this invisible thing. It's not going to be what some people suggest, that Jesus comes on the TV or that he comes in the spirit. No. It will be very visible. In fact, don't ask me how it will happen, because if the earth is round and people are on the bottom and other people are on the top and Jesus comes in Jerusalem and everyone will see him, how in the world is that possible? To be honest with you, I don't care. All I know is that Scripture teaches us that it's going to be very visible when Jesus Christ returns. Later on we see that all the tribes of the earth will mourn in that moment when Jesus returns, which tells me that every tribe on the face of this planet will know that Jesus is here. What surprises me though is, if you listen to the people of the world right now, if you go and talk to all the tribes, they don't know about Jesus. Huh? They don't know. So how will they know that's Jesus? How will they know that's the King of Kings? How will they know that's their only hope of salvation gone because he's returned? How will they know? Could it be that angel that goes out to preach the everlasting gospel right there at the end, we read about in the book of Revelation, that angel makes sure that every single person on the face of this planet will hear the gospel at least, and they will hear about Jesus Christ. So when Jesus returns, nobody will have an excuse. Because the church has failed with our commission to go and make disciples of all nations. We're not everywhere preaching the gospel, are we? But beloved, when Jesus Christ comes on the clouds, verse 27 tells us that it will be very, very visible. Extremely visible. Verse 28 tells us, for wherever the carcasses is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And you know how it works? That's actually vultures now. Whenever there's a carcass that lies in the veld, one that's nicely rotten already, then what happens? You will see the vultures. They will turn. And you can see them from a long distance. You can see they are turning. And then they start coming down to come and feast on this carcass. Same thing with Christ when he returns. It will be visible. It will be clear. Now remember, on the earth there will be devastation. On the earth there's going to be disaster because we've just come through the tribulation period when Jesus Christ returns. But beloved, what is for certain is that the return of Jesus Christ, it will be a visible thing. It will be clear for people to see. There will be no surprise that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has arrived. The one that was supposed to be worshipped, that was not worshipped, that he indeed is on this earth. Then we see that it is just after the tribulation period. Huh? It says in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, then it speaks about the sun that will be darkened and so on. We're going to get there now. So there's going to be a period of time called the tribulation. It's broken up into two parts. Talk about the tribulation period, and then you have the great tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation, or the great call to the great tribulation, or the tribulation period, with the 3.5 years, the last part, as the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, which is a time of devastation. It's a time of judgment. It's a time where God's wrath is poured out on this earth, where God is speaking to the nations of the earth and through natural disasters, and through all kinds of ways, God speaks to the people of the earth, and God is judging them, and He wants them to wake up and turn to Him, but they refuse. They would rather hold on to their sin and their wickedness and their evilness, and they will come up with their own little plans, like things like climate change, and say, no, it's because of climate change. This is not God speaking to us. These natural disasters and things that's coming, it's not God speaking to us and telling the nations of the earth, listen, listen, the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is drawing nigh. Watch out. It's getting closer and closer and closer. The time of God's judgment is coming. But the nations of the earth, they don't care. Because the clever people, the scientists, are telling them, no, it's because first it was global warming. Now it's no longer global warming. Now it's climate change. And they will come up with all their excuses and all their ideas for people not to look up to Christ and the fact that He's coming and that the world is in birth pains. That's what's happening. The earth is in birth pains. And these birth pains are increasing in intensity, and it's increasing in time. We are seeing things escalating at a drastic speed like never before in history. Yet, what does the world do? They come up with their plans. They come up with their ideas. They come up with, oh, we got to stop emission of carbon dioxide or whatever by the year 2030. And they keep people so busy with useless rubbish, instead of looking at the signs of the times and knowing that the return of Christ is at hand. Because Jesus said it will be like the birth pains of a woman that is about to give birth to a child. We're going to see an escalation of things happening. We're going to see the period of time between these things shorten. Beloved, and if we don't see it today, then we are blind. Really, we are blind. Then I believe we are blinded by the God of this world. And then I believe that people need to wake up, need to repent of their sin and turn to faith in Jesus Christ, so that their eyes can be opened up, so they could see where we are and what's happening around us. Because if there's one thing that's for sure, is that the second coming of Christ will happen. Just like all the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ in His first coming, so all the prophecies of His second coming will be fulfilled. We might not interpret all of them correctly now, because we kind of also, in a sense, we are touching certain things and feeling in the darkness in certain aspects. But wow, there are certain things that are extremely clear. And I think we need to be ready, because things are moving at a speed like never before in history. And then we get to verse 29, the second part. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, so this is after the tribulation, he says, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Beloved, those people who worship the sun, you know there are people that worship the sun, eh? Sun worshippers. In the Old Testament, they were called Baal worshippers. We have sun worshippers even today. Those who worship the sun. Then we have people who worship the moon. You will see that there are symbolism on different religions that has the moon as the symbol, which means they are worshippers of the moon god or moon goddess. whatever you want. Sun and the moon. And then you have people that look at the stars and they worship the stars and they believe that the stars are telling them what's going to happen in the future. You know, people that read the stars and they have their horoscopes and they take their date of their birth and they connect it to some other sign in the heavens. And then when there's something written about that sign, that star sign, they take it as if that is speaking to them. I hope you're not doing that. It's an abomination in God's sight. But there are people that are doing these things. But it's amazing what God is going to do when Christ returns. He's going to darken the sun. The moon is no longer going to give its light. And the stars are going to fall from heaven. And the heavens will be shaken. Everything that people worshipped will be touched by the mighty and almighty hand of God. Those things that they put their trust and faith in, God is going to touch it. And let me tell you, it is like God just takes his finger and just touches the sun and it stops giving its light. Touches the moon and it turns into darkness. Maybe just blows and it blows the stars from heaven. I'm exaggerating now. That's the way I look at it. And then you have all these little people on earth that throws their fists up in the air against the Almighty God as if they have the power to fight the Almighty God. As if they can stand up to the Almighty God. And even when Jesus Christ returns, they will be ready to fight Him. Remember the Battle of Armageddon, where the armies of the earth get together in Jerusalem to fight Jesus when He returns? The arrogance of the people of the earth. Yet, our passage tells us, the sun will be darkened, the moon will stop giving its light, the stars will fall from heaven and the heavens will be shaken. Everything that everyone holds so dear and holds on to, everybody knows, oh, in the morning the sun is going to come up. The sun is going to be there. And at night, yep, the moon is there. We don't always see it, but it's there. It's constant. God is going to shake it. These things are going to be shaken. Because God will always hit the idols of the earth with vengeance, with His wrath. And none of these idols will be able to stand. And then we read in verse 30, which is our verse for this morning. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So we'll see that the things that people worship will fail them. They will not be able to look up to the sun. They will not be able to look up to the moon. As much as they want to, they cannot call on their gods because God has destroyed them. God has destroyed the symbols that they were worshiping. When Jesus returns, there will be darkness. In fact, there will be destruction on the earth. Even the stars will fall from heaven. Because God will shake the heavens. Now let me tell you, that takes an almighty God. That takes a creator God to shake the heavens. I mean, we struggle to shake a car. God is going to shake the heavens. Everything that is stable to the people of the earth will be shaken at Christ's return. Now, during the darkness and the destruction, all of a sudden, without announcement. Now, it's interesting. There are already these signs. Yeah? People can look at them. The signs already exist. I mean, before Jesus returns, we're going to be in the tribulation period. And in the tribulation period, the scripture teaches us what's going to happen in the tribulation period. So all that people need to do is to look. In the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to rise up, take control of the world. He's going to stand in the temple of God and make himself or declare himself to be God, which means from that moment on, there's about 3.5 years left. But the people won't care because they will be too busy with themselves. They will be too busy with their idols. They will be so busy with all their normal things. I mean, Christ told us in the Olivet Discourse that they will continue to be eating and drinking and marrying and giving out in marriage when the Son of Man returns. They will be busy with all their normal things, and the leaders of the world will be lying to them and deceiving them and telling them, listen, everything's fine. But the signs will be there. But it's as if people will be so blinded that they will not see the signs. They will not be able to read the signs. And by the way, the darkness and the destruction we read about is right there at the end of the reign of the Antichrist, when he is in control of this world. And when this world is hit by disaster after disaster after disaster as God pours out his wrath on the people of this earth. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he wipes out 2/3 of the population of the earth in 7 years. Beloved, a time like never before and never to be repeated again in history. And nobody will be able to run from the face of God. No one. God will have a captured audience as he pours out his wrath on this earth, on those who refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world won't care. They will continue in their evil and wickedness. Now, beloved, when God's wrath is poured out on this earth, on this wicked world, during the tribulation period, at first, it will seem to people like natural disasters. You know, like the pandemic, for example. They say, oh, no, it's man-made. It's a man thing. Well, they're not there yet in admitting it, but most probably it's man-made. And it leaked. And what the world is doing and what Satan does is he deceives the world. Né? The whole world is deceived. That's what the scripture teaches. So Satan gets it right to deceive the whole world into believing that this must be natural, that this is normal, that these things that are happening on this earth is just part of how things are going to play out. And the leaders of the world will tell the people of the earth, we are in control. Don't worry, we've got it all sorted out. But as the time of the tribulation continues, people's eyes will open up. At one stage, they will try to hide themselves on the rocks, to hide themselves from the face of the Lamb. Because they will realize, whoa, this stuff is supernatural. This is not climate change. This is God speaking to us, and we haven't listened to him. You see, Satan deceives the world to such an extent that most of the inhabitants of the earth will think that they are experiencing normal, everyday stuff, man-made stuff. I mean, whether you look at climate change or the pandemic or wars or earthquakes and all this stuff, I mean, they say that the earthquakes are increasing because of climate change. Everything is climate change. But the scripture teaches us there will be an escalation in earthquakes and famines, pestilence, all these things. These are birth pains, Jesus said. It's not the end yet, but look at these things. It's going to happen. The leaders of the world and the academics and the clever scientists, they say to us, no, it's climate change. It's not signs of the times. It's not the signs of Jesus' return. I even hear professors at seminaries that says, no, don't worry about these things. No, it's climate change. It's got nothing to do with the return of Christ. And these false teachers have platforms in some of the biggest churches in the world, speaking their nonsense. Instead of accepting what the scriptures clearly teach, what Jesus clearly taught about his second coming. Beloved, I believe because of the deception of Satan and the spirit of Antichrist at work in the world already since John's time, or since the time of the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians, where he says that spirit is already at work in the world, I believe that the inhabitants of the earth will not see God's hand in everything that's happening till it's too late. You know when it's too late? When Jesus comes on the clouds. Grace is gone. Because the judge has arrived. There's no more time for grace. Grace is gone then. God's mercy is gone. That's time for God's wrath to be poured out and God to judge the world in righteousness. But up to then, the inhabitants of the earth will not see God's hand. Verse 30, just again. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. We'll come back to that just now. It says, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Now I believe Scripture. When Scripture says all the tribes of the earth, how many tribes? All. Do you agree with me? Well, would you agree with Scripture? All the tribes of the earth will mourn. You see, only when Jesus visibly and physically returns on the clouds, that is when all the tribes of the earth will mourn. So when all the tribes of the earth see Jesus on the clouds, then all of a sudden, they will start mourning. Then all of a sudden, oh, we are so sorry. We are so sorry we rejected you, Jesus. We're so sorry that we never looked up to you. We're so sorry that we allowed the devil to deceive us. We are so sorry. All of a sudden, all the trials of the earth, now it's time for them to mourn. But beloved, it's too late. It's too late. You see, beloved, when Jesus comes on the clouds with power and great glory, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ will no longer be possible. And that is why it is such an urgent call as we see the signs of the times and as we see things escalate and as we see things develop and as we see things happen. That's why it is so important. We cannot afford to postpone our calling out to Him unto salvation. Now is the time to cry out to the Lord for salvation. Now. Because when He returns, it's too late. Now is the time to earnestly seek Him while He is still to be found. No one knows when Jesus will return. Only God the Father knows. The question that just climbs out of this passage is, are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Do you know that you are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone? Have you repented of your sin? Have you turned away from your sin? Are you following Christ and Him alone? Our times are serious. These times are serious. It's not something that we can play with. Beloved, the tribes of the earth will mourn because of their rebellion. They will realize that they rebelled against the only one who is able to save them from final judgment. They're going to mourn because they will realize that it is too late to be saved. Even Israel will mourn because they know that they rejected the Messiah. The thing is, all the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see Jesus Christ come on the clouds. Praise God, before that time, God in His mercy and in His grace will save a large group of people in Israel. And He says, and so all of Israel will be saved. But they will realize, those who refuse to be saved will realize that they crucified the Messiah. Beloved, the day when Jesus Christ comes on the clouds will be a day like none other. There has never been a day like that, and never will be a day like that again. I want to repeat the words of the Hebrew writer: fearful thing it is to fall into the hands of a living God. And then we read in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 24, it says, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Now, is this some sign separate from Christ Himself? No. It just means that Jesus Christ Himself will appear. And that's why we believe in the physical return of Jesus Christ. Not some spiritual return, but the physical return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will return to this earth as He ascended into heaven on a cloud or clouds. You see, the sun represents Jesus Christ, and it just tells us that it's Jesus Christ Himself. By the way, what we read here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, was prophesied by Daniel. If you go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, we read the following. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And this is a vision that Daniel received as a prophet of God. So beautifully speaks about this. Verse 13, Daniel chapter 7, he says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. See that? This is to Christ. Now, this is prophesied about what is going to happen to Christ. What is going to happen is rulership is going to be given to Christ. He will rule this world in righteousness with a scepter of iron. Christ is the ruler. And what is given to Him is dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's the kingdom of God, because He is the one who has the keys to the kingdom. He's got the keys to David. Or the keys of David. Jesus has all authority, we read about in Matthew chapter 28. Yeah? All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth, Jesus said. Oh, amazing. And then it continues in Daniel chapter 7. It says that all peoples and nations and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is an everlasting kingdom, never ever to be destroyed again, the only kingdom that will last forever. And Jesus is the King of that kingdom. Oh, beloved. May we serve the right King of the right kingdom, and not the kings and the kingdoms of this earth. We read something similar in Revelation chapter 19 from verse 11 to 21, where we read about Jesus Christ coming on a white horse and with the armies of heaven with Him, also riding on white horses. When Jesus Christ comes and He defeats the false prophet and the antichrist and the devil, and He judges the people of the earth, in Revelation chapter 20, where He sets up His millennial kingdom to reign over the earth for 1,000 years. Oh, wow. All things that follow the return of Christ. Oh, beloved, what a day. What a day it's going to be. Beloved, when Jesus returns to this earth, It will be with power and great glory. And no wonder the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see Jesus on the clouds. What is noticeable, what's interesting, is that the tribes of the earth will all know that it is Jesus. Even though the tribes of the earth refuse to acknowledge Jesus now, they will know that he is Lord, that he is King, that he is supreme, that he is all-powerful, that he has all authority, that he is the only one that is to be worshipped. They will know it. And beloved, it's for us to go into this world and to tell the world, listen, if you don't bow your knees before Jesus now, you're going to bow your knees before him one day. But then you're going to bow your knees before him as judge, as king. Rather bow your knees before him now as savior, so he can save you from the judgment that is to come. We should proclaim the gospel, the good news. Don't get me wrong, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But I believe that with that, when we speak about who God is, we need to proclaim with boldness and straight out and with seriousness who God really is. And that the nations of the earth has to bow their knees before God now. And then listen to verse 31 again, Matthew chapter 24, where it says, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." You see, when Jesus returns on the clouds, the angels will then go out into all the world, and they will gather the elect to Christ. I believe this is a reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know, when the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive will be changed in an instant to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and so we will be with him forever. You know that text? I believe this is what happens. The angels comes with Christ. The angels goes out, and they take all those who are dead in Christ. They will be resurrected, and they will be taken to Christ. And those who are alive will be changed in an instant, receive their glorified bodies, go to Christ Jesus in the air, and we will be with him forever and ever. And obviously, Revelation tells us that we will return with him to this earth. I believe that is the time that it is spoken about here, where the elect is gathered from all four corners of the earth to be with Christ forever and ever. Wow, what an amazing, amazing thing. Beloved, what a day it will be when Jesus returns on the clouds. This is just a glimpse of how Jesus is going to return. It's not exhaustive. It's just a few things that I shared with you this morning. There's much more. There's much more in the New Testament that should excite us as believers. For the tribes of the earth, that day when Jesus returns on the clouds, those who have not been saved, it will be a day of mourning. Because they will know who Jesus is, and they will know that they rejected him, and they will know that they are in deep, deep trouble. They will know that they have no more hope. They will know that it is the end for them. What a sad day that will be. What a sad day. And I believe, therefore, there needs to be this urgent call from the church to the world to warn, to call to repentance, to call people to faith in Christ, to call them to repent of their sin while there is still time, to turn to Jesus by faith and to trust him to save them and to be ready for his second coming. That's for the tribes of the earth, but for believers, wow, what a day. What an amazing day it's going to be. Because we will see Christ Jesus face to face. We will see him for who he is. And we will be with him forever and ever. When Jesus returns on the clouds, it means our Savior is here. It means our Lord is ready to take us up to be with him forever and ever. Our King is ready then to come and sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and to rule over all the earth. Our Savior has returned as promised when we see him on the clouds. For us as believers, wow, a moment of great joy. But for those who are not saved, they will mourn, and rightfully so. It will be a day of rejoicing and excitement and salvation and deliverance, and you can add to that whatever you want, because, I mean, what, just what a day it's going to be for us as God's people. But there is still this question that goes out to you and me, that just climbs out of this passage, that stands before us, each one of us. And that question is, are you ready for the return of Christ? Or will you mourn like the tribes of the earth? Or will you rejoice? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get a glimpse, and it's just a glimpse of what happens when Jesus returns, and we can see how he returns. Oh, it's so exciting to see. But at the same time, our hearts just go out to so many people that are not saved, that continue with their lives as if Christ is never going to return. So, Father, I pray, please, have mercy. Have mercy on those who are living evil, wicked lives, deceived by the God of this world, blinded by him, to follow after the leaders of the world rather than looking up to the greatest of all, and that's Jesus Christ. I pray that you will open up people's eyes to see the truth and be set free. That people will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through faith in him alone. That they will repent of their sin, turn to Jesus now, and look up with expectation of his soon return. And for us as believers, for us who already have this expectation, Father, I pray, please, in Jesus' name, will you please just make this expectation alive in us. Make it burn as a fire for your name's sake. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.